on JSecio Live, we have breaking news. The Trump tax return legal battle is likely heading to the U.S. Supreme Court. And Trump's outside legal team, a.k.a. JSecio, myself, and others, were part of that team that would be handling that case at the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll talk about it today and more on JSecio Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSecio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
So this is news. You know, we like to bring you news, especially about the president and our legal representation as outside the president's legal team, really, and his some people call it his outside counsel, but really we are the attorneys for the president. This is outside of our role at the American Center for Law and Justice, and my dad is the lead attorney for the president outside of the White House. So, but again, representing the president of the United States in his personal capacity. White House counsel represents the White House and kind of the president in the office of the presidency. So when it comes to actually representing President Trump, that's us. And so what's happened here is a local DA. It's interesting because the House Democrats have totally failed in trying to get President Trump's tax returns. They've tried to go to court, but you know why they failed? They won't actually open an official impeachment inquiry. If they did vote to open an official impeachment inquiry, even though Nancy Pelosi says we don't have to, courts would give a lot of weight to that. They have in the past, and they'd probably be able to get those returns. Now, there'd be a legal fight, but it'd be a much tougher fight for President Trump's legal team. But they're too afraid to actually have that vote. So they're relying on a local New York district attorney who got a district court judge to say that the president can be criminally investigated. Now, this would be something brand new under the understanding of our law in the Constitution. The president can be criminally investigated while in office. We know the president can be subject to civil investigations. Bill Clinton was with the Paula Jones matters and had to testify in those kind of situations in civil matters. And then he was impeached, so he testified there. But this is a local DA, so he's got a lower court ruling. But what was key is not so much the local court saying a president can be criminally investigated, which would be brand new precedent, is that now, Andy, there has been an agreement between our legal team representing the president and this district attorney in New York, Cyrus Vance, that whatever happens from here on out, all the way up to the Supreme Court, whoever has to appeal it, we know it will be appealed, the taxes will not be released until ultimately the Supreme Court weighs in. Now, they can weigh in by accepting to hear the case because it's such a huge case of can the president be criminally investigated while in office. So, you know, usually in the past, the precedent has been no. That doesn't mean they're immune after office if they haven't gotten some kind of pardon from their actions. But again, it would be a huge case constitutionally. It'd be hard for me to imagine Supreme Court not taking it unless maybe the Second Circuit ends up getting it right, which is that the president can't be subject to this. But the cool thing about this, Andy, is that both sides have agreed the president's tax returns aren't going to be released until the Supreme Court has weighed in.
Right. This is not an unusual procedure. Cyrus Vance, Democrat, district attorney from Manhattan, issued a grand jury subpoena and in which he asked the Mazars CPA firm to produce all the tax returns for 8 years of President Trump to determine whether these payments to these women were made and how they were made. And what we have now got, basically, Jordan, is a standstill until the Second Circuit rules, and even then, a standstill further until the Supreme Court of the United States takes up the case. So no one is going to be getting anybody's tax returns from the President of the United States until it is determined whether or not a sitting president can be criminally investigated. The law on that, in my opinion, is very clear. He cannot be, as an incumbent as sitting president, investigated criminally, but we shall see. Right now, and I've done this before, it's a standstill. No one is going to produce anything.
Folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It's a victory for President Trump.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. The Next Red Wave is doing great in bookstores across the country. Sales, both the hardback, the ebook, the audiobook. And I will tell you, on Amazon, we're still in the, I think it's number two in new releases for political advocacy. It just dropped from number one. If a few of you listening right now, and if your ebook readers went on to Amazon and purchased the ebook, again, we're talking to, you know, over a million people right now, and just on Facebook. Thousands of you, and you purchase the ebook, we'd be right back at number one. That means that it gets more promotion, more people out there. And in this book, what is so key is that we predicted all of this coming. This entire move to kind of take on the president again, bring back Russia, bring back the deep state, bring back phony whistleblowers, bring back, now it's the phony impeachment, the whistleblowers disappeared. We're going to go through later Nancy Pelosi. Her whole plan for impeachment is a 4-page campaign document. I mean, look at this. Is this serious impeachment to you? This is like, look how thin it is. This is how you're going to impeach the president of the United States? You think this is what the founding fathers thought of when they were writing a very controversial part of our Constitution that they thought should be taken so seriously? You could condense it really into 3 pages, because the first page is it's like the cover of a book. I mean, it's absurd. But it's why you need to get a copy of The Next Red Wave. Now, if you go to thenextredwave.com, we're also starting to post political updates there. We've got a new one up there about the Moody's numbers predicting President Trump's victory. If turnout equals the last election, he wins on every model. And what we talk about in The Next Red Wave is we need to surpass the turnout so that we can take back the House as well, get good conservatives in the Senate. And so we get real legislation done. But President Trump's certainly doing everything he can on his own through executive action. Now, back to this is breaking news again, and we're taking your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. You know, the left, the Democrats, they want to force President Trump to release his tax returns, even though there's no constitutional requirement to do so. So, though federally, they've run into a wall there. What they have decided to do is to try and open a criminal investigation through a local state district attorney in New York, and they have Cyrus Vance, and he has subpoenaed 9 years, I think, worth of tax returns. This has started out in federal court. The district court said that the president actually can be criminally investigated while in office. Now, that is brand new, and district courts kind of do this all the time. Now, federally, the standard is you cannot. Presidents cannot be criminally investigated, that the option is impeachment. not criminal investigation. So at the state level, that's the other, this is still a constitutional question. Can a state bring a criminal investigation against the president? I think the simple answer is if the federal government can't, and we have a solution in our constitution to remove a president and to try a president for potential crimes, you know, that again, like the like it spells out for impeachment, high crimes, misdemeanor, treason, bribery, we have that option available. So why are we relying on state district attorneys while the president's in office? This is not about after they're in office, before, just while they hold the office of commander in chief. So the district attorney, district court said they could have this criminal investigation, but it's been appealed to the Second Circuit. And there's been a Andy now, and I think this is it's a short term victory, but a big one, because as much as the Democrats want to get their hands on this, ultimately this has got to work through the court process, and the court process next is the Second Circuit. But both sides agree that whoever wins or loses there will be appealing to the Supreme Court. And until the Supreme Court weighs in, and that could mean scheduling oral briefing and oral argument, and that could be, by the way, briefing and oral argument sometime in the spring or you know, kind of the end of this term of the court. It could be briefing and oral argument in the fall, which means you wouldn't even have a decision on this until after the election. But both sides have agreed to that. And during that agreement, the tax returns will not be released. They will not enforce the release of the tax returns, regardless of how courts decide, until the Supreme Court weighs in. The other option, of course, the Supreme Court could decide not to take the case either way that the Second Circuit goes. Second Circuit could say, yes, you can. A state can open a criminal investigation. I can't imagine the Supreme Court not wanting to at least weigh in on that, even if they agreed. I don't agree. And I don't think the Supreme Court would, but I can't imagine them not weighing in on that. They may say that the circuit, Second Circuit, didn't even have jurisdiction, so it could be something handled more simply. But, Andy, so it can kind of be something that can be handled in a page. It can be something handled by full briefing and oral argument.
That's right. I mean, it can be. It's a determination that's going to be made in the court system. And what has happened here, Jordan, is that essentially we've come to a standstill. In other words, neither side is going to be pressing the issue of the production of the records that have been subpoenaed by the grand jury. The state is not. The district attorney for Manhattan is not going to be pressing this. We're going to make a determination in the Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. That oral argument, I think, is scheduled for this Wednesday. They're going to then rule. That it may take months for them to rule. The losing side will seek cert, that is, review by the Supreme Court of the United States. And as you said, that could take months and months and months, and even happen after the 2020 election. So it's going to be a long time before a determination is made as to whether the president's tax returns are going to have to be turned over. But this is not an unusual procedure. Both sides are saying, look, the courts are going to ultimately decide whether or not the returns have got to be made public. And so why don't we just let that go through the court system, and in the meantime, we stand back and we take a standstill position.
And see, I think this is where the political Democrats, even though Cyrus Vance is a Democrat district attorney, they probably get frustrated with this legal system. It's their own fault, though, Andy, because they will not open up an official impeachment inquiry. If they did, courts have given a lot of weight to that. Yeah. They've said that, hey, if you take a full House vote, not even to impeach, but to open an inquiry, then the inference will be that the information you request, the inference will be you will get it, and the other side will have a chance to fight back, of course. But it's more likely than not that they would get access to things like this.
That's right. And it's the apprehension on the part of the Democrats that what the vote would be in the House if they did an inquiry, a formal impeachment inquiry. The likelihood is that they're not going to get all the votes that they want from the people whose districts President Trump carried, Jordan, and therefore it's going to look bad for them. So they'd rather skirt around the issue and not call it an impeachment inquiry vote so that they can then just say, that we're just going to do this inquiry by the pronouncement of the speaker. But I mean, it could give added impetus if they had voted to do an impeachment inquiry to the courts to say, look, this is a political decision. The House of Representatives has made a political decision to do the inquiry. Go ahead and give the tax returns over. That's not what has happened, however.
Folks, I want to ask you this question. Do you think any American is going to vote on his tax returns? Do you think anybody is going to make a decision based off the president's tax returns being released or not. I mean, and ultimately, again, it's a major constitutional question, not so much the tax returns, but can a president, and this is going to be something handled by us folks, not as the ACLJ, but as attorneys representing the president, but because of the knowledge we have of the Constitution, and could be my dad as the lead counsel, I don't know that 100% yet, but certainly could be arguing if it becomes an argument at the Supreme Court and not just briefing or not just something the Supreme Court handles without argument. Is this something anybody is going to vote on? I think the big question is, can a president be criminally investigated by a state, local, district attorney when the federal government can't do it? Because we have a removal process for the president, it's called impeachment, by our elected officials, so you don't need these criminal investigations taking up the president's time while he is commander-in-chief. That's the big issue, is the commander-in-chief is supposed to be so busy running the country that if you really want to get rid of them, you impeach them, and then you send that impeachment to the Senate, they convict, and the president is removed. If not, you can't just tie up the president in a bunch of legal matters so that he cannot conduct the regular course of business as president of the United States. So would any of you cast a vote depending on whether or not his tax returns are released? No one cared about it last time around in 2016. Would you care about it in 2020? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Than Bennett too, because Than, another, and this is what we can talk to people about too as well and get phone calls on. Last night, House of Representatives brings forward a motion to censure, not throw out, but censure Adam Schiff as House Intelligence Chairman because of the entire way he has handled this investigation. First, by lying about the contact with the whistleblower, who now has disappeared. I mean, it's like a fake whistleblower who he said doesn't even need to hear from. Why? Because the Trump administration was transparent and provided the transcript, which was more than the whistleblower even had. But they took a vote last night, Than. Not a single Republican defected. Good sign for the president. Now, it didn't pass. All the Democrats stood on with Adam Schiff, but not a single Republican defected on the censure vote. They all voted to censure Adam Schiff.
A straight party line vote, Jordan, really underscores the same argument you were just making. This is why they don't take the inquiry vote, because it would prove that it is partisan politics. We saw another example last night. We can explain more after the break, but not a single defection, Jordan, a straight party line vote on the question of whether or not to censure Adam Schiff.
We got a lot of phone calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110. Stay up to date with all of the information at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We asked first this breaking news, really, because it doesn't get a lot of coverage, but it is a huge potential case on the fast track to the Supreme Court now. Both President Trump's legal team, that's us, you know, my dad heads up that team outside of the ACLJ, and the Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance, who has tried to get at the president's tax returns by opening a criminal investigation on a sitting president, on a president who is currently commander-in-chief. The New York District Attorney won at the district court. It's now on appeal at the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. But both parties have decided that regardless of what happens at the Second Circuit and who makes the appeal to the Supreme Court, that until the Supreme Court makes a final decision on this and weighs in, or determines they're not going to, that no tax returns will be released regardless of what courts come out with. So you will not be seeing the president's tax returns very soon. And in fact, if the Supreme Court were to take the case, they might take it at the end of the spring term, because the Second Circuit's still got to hear the case. They might take it at the end of the spring, which means you might get it sometime in the summer. But they also could decide to take it in the fall, which means you wouldn't get the decision until after the election anyways. And the question is not really about the tax returns. The question is, can a sitting president be criminally investigated by a local state district attorney while they are in office? Federally, that can't be done. The DOJ relies on Congress and the impeachment power, the constitutional authority there, to remove the president. Now, it doesn't talk about civil issues. We're talking about criminal investigations. So this was their unique way, the Democrats, at trying to get at his tax returns. And now it's kind of a bit, it's kind of hit a wall, because I think they've realized, the legal team on the other side of this issue realized the seriousness of this issue, the consequences of this issue, Andy. If regardless if you like President Trump or not, we'd be setting a new standard for the country if any one of the, 4,000 plus local district attorneys in the country could file and get action on any president they wanted to, so long as they filed a criminal complaint against them, it would be a mess for the commander in chief.
It would be impossible to govern the country as commander in chief and chief executive officer of the United States if every district attorney in the United States had the ability. And we're talking about state DAs. We're not talking about U.S. attorneys. But if every state DA, from Georgia to Oregon, could decide, well, we're going to issue grand jury subpoenas for the president, and we're going to require him to produce documents, whether they're tax returns or whatever those documents may be, and we're going to require him to appear, file motions to quash, that is to suppress the production of the documents. It would be the chaos. It would be havoc that would be wreaked upon the executive branch of government. Clearly, under federal law, it cannot be done. I think it's going to also be failed that under state law, similarly, you cannot do that kind of action.
Folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. One of the questions I had was, do you care at all about the president's tax returns? The second part we're going to get to is this censure vote on Adam Schiff. We'll go to Than on that in just a minute. But we have a call on the president's tax returns. Rick in South Dakota on line 3. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I don't care about the president's tax returns. We have the Congress and Senate to watch over them. But the thing is, the ones that are just can run amok, so to speak, is our lawmakers, our senators and congressmen. Nobody watches over them. If anybody's tax return should be shown, it should be theirs.
You know, it's interesting. Some do release, some don't release. I mean, again, there's no constitutional requirement to do it. It's like, if you feel like you need to because you've got some issues and it's really going to impact your election, well, it certainly didn't impact President Trump. The big issue here is not the tax returns, though. And I guess I could ask you this. Do you think that a sitting president, should be subject to any local district attorney's criminal investigation while they're in office? I mean, they could be impeached. You know, their staffs can be subpoenaed to testify. They can be investigated. You have Mueller with the prosecutorial power. But local, state, district attorneys bringing criminal investigations against the president so that they can get documents they would otherwise not be able to obtain, and the federal government itself would not be able to obtain if they did not go down the impeachment route. Do you agree with that as well? 1-800-684-3110, because, man, it's a dangerous precedent to set. Even if you're a Democrat, you want a Democrat president where any Republican district attorney can just tie them up. All of them could decide, hey, let's just constantly file criminal charges and bring out everything about them we want whenever we want, tie up tons of legal lawyers in court so that the president can't govern. That's why the founders almost didn't put impeachment in the Constitution, and they were very careful about how they did. They made it almost impossible to impeach a president, because though it's easy for the House to impeach, to remove and convict is very difficult because it requires a two-thirds majority. Let's go back to the phones. Jason in Idaho on line one. Jason, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your continuing efforts on behalf of the American people and our Constitution and preserving it.
Thank you,
so,
Jason.
I really don't care too much about the whether or not his records need to be released. I don't think they do. My bigger concern is that if the courts were to decide that a sitting president can be criminally prosecuted at the state level or others, wouldn't that end up eliminating, eventually, diplomatic immunity?
I mean, I don't know about diplomatic immunity. That's foreign. But what it would do is destroy the ability of the president's and future presidents to govern. That's why it'd be a major case. And we are handling this. It is your ACLJ lawyers handling this outside of the ACLJ as the president's legal team. So you should be proud of that, folks. That we were chosen to do that, and my dad chosen to do that, as this heads now likely to the U.S. Supreme Court. As we head into this next break, so we're going to get more into Adam Schiff. We're going to get into the four-page plan. This is Nancy Pelosi's entire plan on impeaching the president. You think they're taking it seriously, or you think it's just all about politics? Look how thin that is. If you could see this on radio, it looks like one page. I think it's four total. One of them is a cover page, a giant cover page. Truth Exposed. It looks like a book by Rachel Maddow, not like actual impeachment documents. So we'll talk about that, though. What's in there? What is Nancy Pelosi planning to do? She certainly doesn't want to have the vote to open the inquiry, which would put a lot of these legal matters to rest because she's afraid that her caucus isn't there for the votes. Also, Adam Schiff, the censure vote. Not a single Republican, good sign for the president, decided to side with Adam Schiff and the Democrats. The censure didn't pass. Democrats have the majority. It was party line vote. But not a single Republican agreed that Adam Schiff should not be censured for how he has conducted this phony impeachment inquiry into the president, how he's handled the whistleblower, the phony conversation, all of that information. And we're going to get into two. Bernie Sanders finally came out with a statement and a tweet defending Tulsi Gabbard. Elizabeth Warren, no comment. Joe Biden has not spoken to it yet. Mayor Pete doubling down and basically going after Tulsi Gabbard on this horrendous allegation by Hillary Clinton. We'll talk about all of it when we get back. Taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And we're getting close to 1 year out from Election Day. Check out thenextredwave.com. Help us out with the ebook. Go to Amazon, get it on Kindle. I think we can get back to number one there.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So, we've told you about the breaking news, the Manhattan District Attorney and President Trump's legal team. That's like my dad and some of us who are on that team have struck a deal that the president tax returns, regardless of however lower courts decide, federal lower courts decide, will not be released until ultimately the appeal is made by one of the parties, whoever's the losing party in the Second Circuit, which is in New York, which oversees New York, is appeals to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decides what they'll do with it. Will they hear the case, not hear the case? Will they get briefed on it? And will they say there wasn't jurisdiction in a one-pager? Will there be full oral arguments? That would be something potentially my dad could be handling at the U.S. Supreme Court. So again, a major potential case there, and not just about, it's not really about President Trump's tax returns. The case is major presidential precedent. Can a local or state government prosecutors, which there are thousands, bring criminal investigations against sitting presidents? Federally, Department of Justice has said we can't do that. And the if you want to go after the president, Congress has the ability to do that through the impeachment process. They can actually just remove the president. They can conduct their own trial. And the Constitution is pretty open to how Congress wants to do that, except for they put in a very tough requirement for removal, two-thirds of the Senate. So it's kind of easy to get a majority vote in the House to say impeach, very difficult to get two-thirds to actually be impeached, which is why in history, not a single president has ever been removed and convicted of impeachment. Some have left before the votes, like Nixon. Clinton was impeached, but then was exonerated by the Senate, so he was not removed. And again, so the history is on the side of the presidents and not on the side of the parties trying to do this, and especially so when it's blatantly for political purposes. And there's a document out released today by Nancy Pelosi. It is absurd. I'm holding it in my hands. For those of you on radio, the entire document is, now this is including the cover page, which has a giant truth exposed and a picture of President Trump on it, including the cover page, and a lot of bold, big text is, what is it? Four pages, and they're counting the cover page as a page. Four pages total. And the fourth page is only about a half a page. I mean, they use some big font. Basically, all they do is say there was a shakedown, a pressure campaign. They cite some news sources, some text messages, all stuff you all know. They then say there was a cover-up. Now, that's interesting because the moment there was this talk about a whistleblower, there was no cover-up. The White House released the transcript. And that's why Adam Schiff said they don't even need the whistleblower. In fact, I don't know why Nancy Pelosi included this cover-up part because the whistleblower didn't even have the transcript. So they didn't have the best information. The president and White House ultimately decided to release that. So this is not serious, folks. This is not serious impeachment. This is not what the founding fathers, this is not what they were intending. Anything you could hear like this on radio, it should be a very thick document that I could not just hold in my hand. If you were serious about impeaching the president, you don't. It's not a bunch of bold text. This looks like a political something you would again an ad on paper, and that's exactly what it is. And by the way, that usually backfires. So I don't know what Nancy Pelosi. She's pretty smart strategically. Usually, I'll give her that. She's bending down to the will of the far left of her party. Because I mean, Harry, you look at this. There is no substance here. This is all politics.
Yes, and essentially the document itself ignores the Constitution. As Wesley Smith has correctly pointed out, the Constitution provides the guardrails for impeachment, not manufactured documents from the House Speaker. And this particular document is simply manufactured. It's contrived. The whole investigation is contrived.
All right, folks, when we come back, we continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Top two Democrats running for president remain silent on Tulsi Gabbard. Mayor Pete doubles down on his refusal to condemn Hillary Clinton. We'll get into that. And Adam Schiff as well, taking your phone calls. ACLJ.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Silence from two of the leading, you know, I sent out that tweet yesterday, during the show to Elizabeth Warren, to Joe Biden, and Bernie Sanders, specifically to Bernie Sanders. And the tweet was one tweet, over 100 of you retweeted it very quickly, lots of likes on it. And to Bernie Sanders, we said, how could you do this to Tulsi when she endorsed you in 2016, especially you, Bernie? Now, here's what we've gotten so far. Nothing from Joe Biden. Elizabeth Warren said no comment yesterday, so she would not speak to it. Bernie, finally, we can add him to the list of doing the right thing, put out a tweet saying, Tulsi Gabbard has put her life on the line to defend this country. People can disagree on issues, but it's outrageous for anyone to suggest that Tulsi is a foreign asset. That coming from Bernie Sanders, don't typically agree with him. But or any of those who are having to put these statements out, but they're doing the right thing like Beto O'Rourke did, Cory Booker, Marianne Williamson, Yang. But here is Mayor Pete. Now, Mayor Pete danced around this the first time on the Sunday shows this weekend when he was on Meet the Press. Then he went on Jake Tapper's show. And Jake Tapper on CNN, these are usually pretty friendly places for a person like a Mayor Pete. But just ask him point blank, like, what's the deal here? Take a listen to this exchange. It's pretty wild that someone like Mayor Pete, he seems like the nice guy, right, would ultimately at least say, there's no substance to this. It's absolutely wrong to make an allegation like this against someone without any evidence. It's a simple answer. That's all you'd have to do. It's not clearing her completely. It's just saying, there's no evidence. You don't talk like this about other Americans, especially those who serve our country in uniform and go overseas risking their life, as Bernie Sanders says. But take a listen. Clean cut Mayor Pete, who tries to act so nice, not so nice right here. Take a listen.
Do you think Tulsi Gabbard's a Russian asset?
I don't know what the basis is for that.
And, well, I don't either.
What I consider her to be a competitor, somebody who I respect her service. I also have very different views than she does, especially on foreign policy. And I would prefer to have that argument in terms of policy, which is what we do at debates and what we're doing as we go forward.
So he would not answer if she was a Russian asset. He called her a competitor. So I guess he said, that's fine. I hope this hurts her because I'm competing against her and I disagree with her. And yes, she had her service. But yeah, Pete, she had her service. So couldn't you at least say, let's cut the junk here and talk just about differences? Yeah, we're competitors. We have different views. That's great. But again, I mean, Than, to me, this is just shows how disgusting Democrats are. They're just disgusting. They're disgusting about how they treated President Trump. Hillary Clinton is really gross. Tulsi Gabbard is right. She's a warmonger, the embodiment of corruption, if you will, with the Clinton Foundation. There was a new report by the State Department out yesterday. Hundreds of emails that were mishandled by Clinton and her team there, subjecting the U.S. to national security risk. Again, this she is the embodiment of corruption, and yet she makes the allegation hoping that we get to Russia 2.0 against President Trump, that now it's Russia grooming Democrats that will then run as third-party candidates, which, by the way, anyone has a right to run as a third-party candidate, but Hillary Clinton is boxing Tulsi Gabbard in so that if she were to decide to do that, well, now, and she said she's not, but if she did, well, now she must be a Russian agent, right? Because she made her own mind up to do what is legal under the Constitution. Than it is gross what we're seeing from Democrats right now, from impeachment, from this four-page Nancy Pelosi piece of junk. This is what you're going to impeach and president on. I mean, give me to Adam Schiff, making up dialogue, lying about contact with the whistleblower. Now the whistleblower doesn't exist, and they're not necessary. Is impeachment falling apart for them? And why is, you know, why would other Democrats just, are they that afraid of the Clinton machine still, even though Hillary Clinton is so unpopular nationally?
Well, I think some of them are, Jordan. I mean, on the impeachment question, I think they're having great difficulty with it. The plan had always been to have a final vote by Thanksgiving. I think that is quickly slipping away from them. I would just say on that strategy document the Speaker Pelosi put out, Jordan, I mean, the transcript in question is longer than this strategy document. So that tells you what they think about that evidence, because if that evidence were in the strategy document, that alone would be longer than the document they put out. On the question about Tulsi Gabbard, Jordan, I mean, this one is extraordinarily easy. The bar for calling someone who served our country in uniform a traitor should be very, very high. It should require evidence. The default position should be that they are loyal to this country and not to another. That should have been a very easy question for Mayor Pete to answer. And look, Jordan, I mean, I'll say quickly, I disagree with Tulsi very strongly on some issues. I mean, she calls for the codification of Roe v. Wade. I vehemently disagree with her on that. But I think even Bernie Sanders, Jordan, here's my view. I think even he was content to let her struggle with this one for a certain amount of time before saying the right thing, because it helped him if it hurt her.
That's right. Even though she endorsed him, even though she left actually the DNC vice chair position because she felt he was so mistreated, because she's now a competitor, even though they don't really get into it in debates, he let it sit out there, but he ultimately did the right thing. Julian Castro did not. He's another one who, I guess, I mean, these are just scared. It shows you, too. These are people who shouldn't be president. I think that's why Donald Trump was president. He's not scared. And this is why other presidents, like Reagan, like Bush, both Bushes, Bill Clinton, too, tough guys. May not agree with him on everything. These are tough guys. They're not scared. These Democrats are still scared of Hillary Clinton. Then you shouldn't be running for president. I mean, seriously. She got beat by Donald Trump, trounced. She got trounced by Barack Obama. Her husband is horrendous, let's be honest, and was yet much tougher than her politically. And it's not to do with man versus woman, because she certainly tries to, like, stir the pot. But take a listen, because the Castro brothers, they're afraid of him. This is the one running for president. He gets asked directly about it. Here's his answer.
Do you agree with former Secretary of State Clinton that she could very well be a Russian asset?
I'm going to focus today on my campaign and what we're doing.
Just to confirm, you did not say no. You do not think that Tulsi Gabbard could be a Russian asset?
No, I'm going to leave others to comment on that. I have no comment on that.
At the very least, you think it was appropriate for Hillary Clinton to insert herself into the election in this way?
I have a lot of respect for Secretary Clinton. And I'll just leave it at that.
This is disgusting. It's disgusting, Wes. You served in our military. You served in our armed forces. For them to say they have a lot of respect for Hillary Clinton, who did not serve in our armed forces, to have no comment on this, and to, again, which is exactly what Elizabeth Warren did, this is disgraceful. It shows so much about the Democrat Party and the two leading candidates right now, Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. We know Elizabeth Warren has said basically what Julian Castro said, no comment. And Joe Biden is just ignoring it completely right now.
Yeah, and Hillary Clinton, really, I think you can make the case the woman is completely unhinged when it comes to this whole matter. You know, these Democrat candidates that are refusing to take a stand and to really defend Tulsi Gabbard and to talk about what a farce this is, what they're doing, they're listening to focus groups and their political advisors. Everything is about a political calculation, and that's why they're doing it. Truth, forget it. Honor, forget it. Remember, I'm not a big fan of John McCain, but whenever in the campaign years ago, when someone accused Barack Obama of being un-American, what did he do? He immediately defended Barack Obama just on the basis of honor and integrity. And we're not seeing that with these candidates.
This un-American thing and this Russian asset thing, it's got to stop. I mean, you got to have evidence. President Trump dealt with it the worst way. There was no evidence. It was a phony dossier. He got through an entire special counsel inquiry. They had all the resources they wanted. And they found what? No conspiracy, no collusion with Russia, with the Trump campaign. But now the Russians are grooming Democrats to help Donald Trump. And they're going to pick one who's barely qualifying for the debate stage, who, even if they did run as a third party, might even take away votes from President Trump, honestly. You think about it, Tulsi Gabbard, maybe popular with the independents who like Trump, may not care as much about the social issues, and are more like that isolationist policy position. So it could actually hurt President Trump. I mean, this is not the asset you'd groom anyways. But I want to play this. Tulsi Gabbard actually predicted this in 2016. I'm going to be glad with the day. I don't wish harm on anybody. When the Clintons just go away from politics. And maybe they're not, because, you know, Chelsea could be coming into the world too of that, because they just ruin things for their own people too. They just don't want anybody to rise above whatever they are. Listen to Tulsi Gabbard back in 2016.
What about any retaliation? The Clintons have had a well-oiled machine in Washington for years. Do you fear any retribution from the Clintons? And what's your relationship been like with it?
Well, you know, I was heavily warned by people who care about me to not endorse Senator Sanders because of that fear of retaliation. And look, that fear is something that exists in a lot of folks that I've heard from.
But what we know is that Tulsi Gabbard, who has fought in war, is not afraid of Hillary Clinton. She doesn't like what this is, but she's not afraid of her. People like Julian Castro are. Elizabeth Warren is. Looks like Joe Biden is. Mayor Pete certainly is as well. When we come back, we take your phone call, second half hour, 1-800-684-3110. We'll talk about Gabbard. We'll talk about the silence, this Russia part two that Hillary Clinton is trying to start. And it's, again, I think it's this kind of agreement that they can't win because, A, you know, they're going to do it again, even though the Mueller report said they didn't do it the first time. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
For our Facebook and Periscope audience, we just played a little video on the next red wave, which predicted a lot of what's happening right now and how to respond to it. That's the key part. How are we going to respond to it? That's what's in the book. How do we fight back? Turnout. How do you help increase that? We explain it in the book, what you can do. And we're people that have campaign experience. So it's not a legal book. It's not it's a campaign advocacy book. And in fact, on Amazon, the Kindle, the ebook has just been flying really great sales there. And that's encouraging because, very broad demographic of people use e-readers, from older readers to younger readers. I've got one too. It is right now, it was number one for a long time in new releases under political advocacy. Right now it's just at number two. So what I'm asking people today, if you go to Amazon, if you've got a Kindle, purchase that ebook. It's a lot less than the hardback. And I think if a number of you do, we'll get it right back to number one. Then it gets that banner on Amazon and more people will again get access to the next red wave. Also on the nextredwave.com, we're going to start posting more. We did one yesterday. New political updates, kind of like political blogs that wouldn't be appropriate for ACLJ.org, and we're kind of building that out now. The first one we did was on the Moody's report predicting Donald Trump's victory under all three of their prediction models, which are not based off polls but economic models, and with the one catch that all of this turns on if the turnout is at least as good, if not better, than 2016. Well, in our book, on the first page, we talk about how turnout is going to be the key. President Trump and conservatives will win if people turn out. The Democrats are going to have a very tough time, but there's burnout issues potentially with all this impeachment stuff and constant legal and all the drama the Democrats keep unfolding with the shifts, with the Pelosi's. And there's that burnout issue. So you kind of have to start ignoring that and start thinking about long term. Again, I encourage you, check out Amazon today. If you have the Kindle, and you can actually do a Kindle app as well. You don't have to actually have a Kindle device. But to get the ebook there, we can get back to number one very easily with just a few of you. If 20, 25, 100 of you, that'd be great too, purchased the ebook for the next red wave off of Amazon, the Kindle version, we'd be back at number one in political advocacy. And that then gets the book out far and wide on Amazon's, on Amazon's site. Now, we've also got this new great program going on. Then we're going to get back to your calls and all the information. It's called What's Next. And actually, while I'm playing this What's Next, I want to hear from some callers. If you've seen the What's Next videos that we've been posting on Facebook, it goes on my page and my dad's page. They're getting, some of them close to 200,000 views. We're covering lots of different issues in 3 minutes or less on video, and then you can share them. They're all made for you to be able to share to friends and family who may not be as engaged as you are on critical issues. I wanted to play for you the one we just released yesterday. Will, how many does this views have right now? Let's play it now. I know we're at over 100,000 in less than 24 hours. This is the newest What's Next, which we post on Facebook.com, my Jordan Seculo page, the Jay Seculo page, and my official Instagram account.
An elementary school principal yanks a fourth grader's Bible away and tells him not to bring it back to school. What's next? There's been a long precedent in our nation, going back to Supreme Court cases and, of course, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, that students have an absolute right to religious liberty, even in public schools. Students don't shed their rights when they enter the schoolhouse gates. They still are protected, just like all of us, by the First Amendment and other Bill of Rights to the Constitution. So these schools sometimes take just what is unbelievably absurd action. A case we're working on right now at the ACLJ, family contact us. A fourth grader brings his Bible to school so that at recess he could share it with his friends or read stories from it with his friends. So the principal brings this fourth grader in, yanks the Bible away for the whole day, and then tells him when he gives it back to him at the end of the day, never bring this book back to school again. Well, those parents contacted us at the ACLJ, and let me tell you something, we quickly educated that school administrator and that principal. But just imagine the damage he did to a fourth grader. Well, it happened to a third grader as well. A third grader was told by their teacher they can't talk about their faith to other students. I mean, just imagine trying to even think what that third grader is going through. Thankfully, the parents found out and they contacted us at the ACLJ. These cases are pouring into the ACLJ right now. So we need your support. We need the resources so we can fight back. You know, people go to aclj.org/help so that we can be ready for what's next.
Folks, right now has, what'd you say, Will? It's
134,000.
134,000 people have viewed that video. Hundreds have shared it. It posted yesterday around 2 p.m. Eastern time on our Facebook pages. That's how long they are, and they are great ways. They're really made for you who are educated on the issues. One, you may not know about that, those issues, but really they're made so you can share them with friends and family. We're not going to put anything in there that's going to be too shocking, that's going to be too partisan or anything like that, but really the core work that we do at the ACLJ so that you can easily share it with your friends and family by clicking that share button. And I think that's why What's Next has been doing so great. We haven't talked a lot about it on the radio broadcast, but we post it once a week on Facebook, usually on Mondays, and again in the afternoon, so after the radio broadcast. Usually it has nothing to do with the radio broadcast whatsoever. It's not about breaking news. It's about, you know, current issues and cases put down into about 3 minutes, easy to share video. So it's on Facebook, my Facebook page, Jordan Seculo, my dad's Jay Seculo page. And then I also put it up at my official Instagram page, which is official Jordan Seculo, if you want to follow me on Instagram as we start to create that Instagram page. And we're working on that as well. So again, facebook.com/ Jordan Seculo ACLJ and facebook.com/ Jay Seculo. You can see those What's Next videos. We tweet them out too. The best way to go is Facebook each Monday. And again, the real purpose there is to share it. Sometimes there's an action item, like a petition. Sometimes there's just a, hey, if you need legal help like this, we actually put out the legal help information where if you go to aclj.org/help, you think that you've been in a situation like one we're talking about on What's Next, and we tell people, hey, go to aclj.org/help, put in your information, and a real ACLJ attorney is going to contact you, could be same day, within 24 hours, certainly, unless it's on like Saturday and not an emergency, but you're going to hear from an actual ACLJ attorney to figure out if you've got a case that we could handle for you and represent you, of course, at no cost. We are taking your phone calls. Well, we're out of time for the show today. 50 seconds around the horn very quickly, starting with Than in D.C. Than, you still think they're going to actually impeach the president?
I don't think they have an exit ramp, Jordan. But I first time today, Jordan, I actually think it might not happen before Thanksgiving.
Wow. Harry?
I agree with Than. I think the Democrats have massively miscalculated, and I think their campaign will backfire.
Wes? Yeah, they will do it. I think they will not get it done before Christmas. It won't be by Thanksgiving.
I agree with Wes.
I think they're getting scared about having enough votes. I thought they were absolutely going to do it, but it's been such a mess for them, and the fact they wouldn't open up the official inquiry, which means they'd get all the documents they wanted, tells me they got real problems within their own Democrat caucus. And you got to question whether they'll ever get to the actual impeachment vote, because do they want to give it away to Mitch McConnell?
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.